Hello, and welcome to the Small Business University audio presentation of the month. This monthly CD web series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching small business owners how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker or business owner shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Most of you will remember the story about the guy that bought a mule. The new owner complained to the previous owner that the mule simply would not work. The original owner came by to see what the problem was. The first thing he did was to hit the mule in the head with a 2x4. The current owner said, "What are you doing?" The original owner then replied, "The first thing you have to do with this mule is to get his attention." Larry Wingate is the kind of guy that gets your attention. No fluff, just his straightforward personal opinion. You may or may not agree with what he says. However, that is not the point. The point is to get your attention so you begin to think about what you're doing. Larry is no stranger to the series. He has made multiple presentations, all of which are very entertaining and thought-provoking. You'll have fun listening to his presentation entitled "The Unfiltered Truth About Business." And guess what? You might just pick up a few tips on how your business can be a little more profitable.
So I'm going to ask you some questions, some really tough questions. I want you to stop and answer those questions, which means you probably ought to have a pencil and paper in front of you, and you need to be ready to write some things down when I ask you. You may want to stop this as you go through and talk among yourselves about what it takes to be successful in business when I ask you this question. First question is this: why does your business exist? You have an answer to that? You may say a variety of things. Let me break it down to one thing, because your business exists for one reason and one reason alone. It's to make money. It's to be profitable. If your business ceases to be profitable, it goes out of business. It looks to me, as I travel around and work with a variety of companies, and I've spoken to over 400 of the Fortune 500 companies every single week. I'm on the road someplace in the world talking to different businesses and corporations and associations made up of business people, and I shop a lot. I'm out. I'm on the streets. I'm in businesses every single day. And what I've noticed from going around and talking to people and shopping and being a customer is that businesses seem to have forgotten why they're in business. They forget that they exist for one reason and one reason only, and that is to be profitable. Now, let me tell you what it takes to be profitable. Do you know? Well, you should know. You're in business. What it takes to be profitable is that you're able to sell your product or your service for more than it costs you. The difference between what it costs you and what you offer it for, what you sell it for, is called your profit. Now, of course, that's a very simplified approach, but I kind of like a simplified approach. I think we've complicated all this stuff way too hard. It means that your product has to sell for more than it costs you to buy. It means that your service, you have to sell it for more than it costs you to provide. It means that your people, your employees, they have to be worth more than they cost you. Are they? That's a tough question. Are they worth more than they cost you? You have to figure that out. And so today, as we go through the different aspects of business, I want it always to relate back to, is it making you money? If it doesn't make you money, then it's worthless. That's right, it's worthless. Now, you may have some altruistic approach to business and say, no, I'm here to serve people. Well, serving people is important. Believe me, we all exist to serve others well. The better you serve others, the better you are in turn served. The better you serve your customer, the better the customer serves you. I am all about service, but that service must be provided at a profit. And if it's not provided at a profit, you go out of business. Again, we get caught up in things that don't make any sense, things that complicate the way we run our businesses, things that get us off track, and things that do not make us more profitable. Here's one of the things we get caught up in that keep us from being profitable. First of all, we don't have clear priorities. Let me ask you right now, as an individual, not collectively, as an individual, what your priorities really are within your job. Now, if you're the janitor, you may say, your priority is to keep the floor clean, or to keep the restrooms clean? Okay. If you're in sales, you may say, well, my priority is to sell new customers. Okay. You might be in the customer service department. You might be in the warehouse where your priority would be to make sure that the boxes get stacked. See, as individuals, that's what we think our priorities are. And you're right to a point. But overall, collectively, we also have priorities in running our business. And the problem is that we haven't, as leaders, communicated what the priorities of the business are to every single employee within the organization. Overall, every single employee's number one priority is to keep the business profitable. And profitability always comes down to two things only. You have to reduce what things cost, or you have to increase how much you earn. On a personal level, if you want to have more money, you spend less, earn more. Same thing applies to your business. Cost less, spend less, earn more. That's what it comes down to, revenue and expenses. So the problem is that we have people in their individual jobs that don't understand that what they do, their priorities every single day when they go to work, has to play into expenses and profitability. They don't understand that. We have not stopped and communicated to the janitor that what he does, keeping that floor clean, directly relates to how profitable the organization is. And it does relate. We haven't told the guy in the warehouse how what he does, stacking boxes or getting things out the door or unloading trucks. We haven't explained that what he does directly impacts how profitable we really are. Instead, we get caught up in a world of priorities that have nothing to do with profitability. Let me tell you what, especially in terms of two different areas, we need to let everybody understand that what they do has an impact. Selling and customer service. I've talked to companies. I made a phone call the other day. I was complaining. Gee, can you imagine that? Me complaining about bad service? But this is what they said. You know, you're talking to the sales department. What you need to be doing is talking to customer service. You see, the problem is we've created a department that handles customer service. Customer service is everyone's priority. Again, we have not communicated that to all employees of the company. We think customer service is a department. It's over there. See, there's a banner above. There's a sign up there that says customer service department. That's where you go to get service. No, service comes from everybody. We have a sales department. We haven't communicated to everybody that selling is also the responsibility of every single person within the organization. Everybody is into selling. I mean, again, I'm going to take it back to the janitor, to the guy in the warehouse, to the receptionist. It is everybody's job to sell the company to that customer. So the overall priorities of everybody within your organization have to be selling. And I'm not talking about, here's our product, would you please buy it? That's not selling. Selling is making sure that you've created an organization other people want to do business with. Eventually, somebody has to ask them to buy this product, this service, what you do, what you sell, what you offer. Of course. But overall, selling, making yourself the kind of people, the kind of organization people want to do business with, that's everybody's job. Serving the customer, that's everybody's job. Have you communicated that to every single person in your organization? If you haven't, you're messing up. They don't understand. They don't see how selling and customer service is their job, and they don't see how what they do directly ties to the profitability of the organization. If they did see that, they might get more interested in what they're doing and see that it plays a part in the overall picture. Next, here's one of the things that we do that stands in the way of our companies being more profitable. We reward the wrong things. Stop right now and ask yourself this question. What do you reward within your company? I bet if you're a manager or a leader, you reward people who come in early and stay late. Let me tell you right now, that's stupid. Yeah, I admire people who come in early and stay late. Yeah, right. Here's the problem with people come in early and stay late. They probably weren't working in the number of hours that you paid them to be working, so they have to come in early and they have to stay late to get the job done. Either that or kiss-ups, and they want your attention, and they want you to believe that they're working harder than they really are. Let me tell you what, I've never seen a job that could not be done in the number of hours allotted to it. Never seen a job. Really, I don't believe one exists. There's not a job out there that could not be done within the number of hours allotted to it if the person actually worked while they were there. The problem is people don't work. And we end up rewarding them for not doing their job by saying, look at Sally over there. She comes in early. She stays late. She skips her lunch hour. Well, if sweet little Sally over there worked during the number of hours you paid her to work, she wouldn't have to do those things. So chances are you are rewarding the wrong thing within your company. We reward workaholics. That's stupid. Don't do that anymore. What about the guy who's able to get his job done in 2 hours? He doesn't need 8 hours. Let me tell you what, I got an employee. His name's Vic. I have no idea when he works, how much he works. I don't know. I really don't. I don't have a clue. We don't work in the same city. I'm very fortunate. I work in a company where we don't have to be in the same city. Vic seems to me like Vic's off more than he's on. He takes vacations all the time. He's never around when I call. But the work gets done. Now, if it takes Vic 2 hours a day to get the work done, or if it takes Vic 20 hours a day to get the work done, I don't care. You see, I pay for the job. I pay for results. Now, how Vic and I do our business is different than the way most of the traditional businesses work, but the concept is the same. You have to ask yourself, what are you paying for? What are you paying for? Results. That's it. You want the job done. Now, chances are you've got some people who are able to achieve results very quickly. And because they're able to achieve their results very quickly, they're penalized. Yes, they are. They're penalized because they got the job done fast. Because we like to see people get real caught up and take a long time to do their job. Because if we see them working really hard, well, then they must be better employees. In other words, pay attention to this. In other words, we reward activity and we let accomplishment go unrewarded. Bottom line, what you always pay for is results. Accomplishment. Are they getting the job done? You need to stop and look at everybody who works for you. You need to stop and look at yourself. What are you doing? Are you focused on activity or are you focused on accomplishment? The most important thing is always what's getting done, not what people are doing. I don't care what you do as long as you're getting the right things done. It's a total shift in how we look at jobs. It's a total shift in how we reward people on the job. It's a total shift in our thinking about what it takes to be successful. The people who are most successful are the people who get things done, not the people who stay busy. The companies who long-term survive and succeed the best are the companies who get things done, not the companies who stay busy. So ask yourself as an organization, are you focused on getting things done, or are you caught up in busy work? Ask yourself, do we reward people for staying busy, for activity, or do we reward people for getting things done, results, accomplishment? We have a tendency in all areas of business to reward activity rather than accomplishment. The next area, we tolerate poor performance. Yeah, we do. Don't kid yourself. We tolerate poor performance, primarily because it just takes too much time. I mean, I don't want to mess with that. So they came in 5 minutes late. Who cares? They let it slide. You know, the problem is we've let it slide for way too long. I'm a company guy, folks. I've been in business, lots of different businesses, a number of times over a lot of years. I've run a number of businesses that turned them into multi-million dollar successes. And I've run a business into the ground and went bankrupt. Pretty much, I learned a lot of lessons by going bankrupt in my business. And it was primarily because I let little things slide. You can't let little things slide. You can't do it. You see, so Jim over there, he comes in 5 minutes late. Is that really a big deal? Well, maybe not today for Jim to come in 5 minutes late. But you see, the problem is over here, Susie saw Jim do it. And she also saw that you didn't do anything about it. And because you didn't do anything about it, because it was just too much trouble to go over and mention it, she said, well, he got by with it. I bet I could get by with it. So 3 days from now, she comes in 5 minutes late, and now a trend has developed. You have people who start to come in late. Is that really a big deal? Yeah, it becomes really a big deal because, number one, they're stealing from you. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. You paid for that time. They're supposed to be there. No excuse in the world is good enough, in my opinion, for anybody to be late. When they said they were going to be there, they ought to be there. That's what it comes down to. They gave their word. It's a lack of integrity if they don't show up on time. But that kind of performance just gets overlooked. That's wrong. You can't overlook anything. The little things do matter in business because the little things lead to bigger things. Because if they're willing to be 5 minutes late, they might be willing to give a little less than their best when they're dealing with a customer, where they're dealing with a coworker, or where they're working on a project or something. We accept poor performance because it's just too much trouble to take the time to correct it. And when you don't correct poor performance, it spreads like a cancer throughout your business. People say, well, Larry, cut him some slack. I don't believe in cutting anybody any slack. I think you earn slack. You know, if you're a salesperson and you're 300% of quota, you can come and go when you want to. I don't really care because you're 300% of quota. If you're 85% of quota and you come in 5 minutes late, I'm all over you because you're not producing results. And that kind of performance cannot be tolerated. So we tolerate poor performance. You are. You're tolerating poor performance in yourself. I know you are. We all do. We let ourselves get by with stuff. And because we know we're getting by with it, we don't really feel good about correcting them when they've provided us with poor performance. We don't feel like taking the time to correct. Next idea is this. We don't even bother to teach folks how to be good at what they do. Not a lot of time is spent on education. Most companies say, okay, you're hired. There's your computer over there. Here's basically what you do, and we leave them alone. Or we put them through training programs that, one, we don't communicate what the overall part of their job is and how it plays into profitability and customer service and sales, all those things I just talked about. We haven't told them what their role is in the big picture. But we also haven't trained them how to really do what they do. Education is way off. We haven't taught people how to be good workers. We haven't taught them that we expect certain things from them and we're going to manage according to those expectations. We haven't taught them how to be good people. And being good people is a big deal. You see, I really do believe that business gets better when the people in the business get better. Sales get better when salespeople get better. Customer service improves when the people who deliver the customer service improve. Employees get better when managers get better. In fact, everything in your business only gets better once the people in the business get better. I get hired all the time. They say, come in, Larry, and help us make our business better. I can't make your business better. I mean, I said this was about how to have a better business. But everything I'm talking about is about making people in the business better. Because if they get better, if you get better, then your business will improve. So the principles I'm talking about here, these are principles for you as individuals, people on within your company, so they can be better at what they do. So if that's what you're interested in and you understand that concept, you have to focus on what you can do to make your workers better people, people who are reliable, people who have integrity, who are honest, who show up on time. And you're going, well, now, Larry, come on, that's pretty basic. Duh, yeah, it's pretty basic. But those are the things that get overlooked. People who manage their time better. Let me ask you. People who manage their time better, if you taught them how to manage their time, would they be better on their job? Stupid question. Of course they would. People who know how to set and achieve goals. And I'm going to do a session on how to set and achieve goals in this series. But if you know how to set and achieve goals, are you going to be better at sales? Better at customer service? If you are you going to be a better janitor? Are you going to be better in the warehouse? Will you be a better receptionist? Will you be a better leader, a better CEO? If you knew how to set and achieve goals, well, of course. Are you teaching your people that? You see, we're not teaching people how to be better at who they are so they can be better at what they do. Next is this. We don't even create an environment that is conducive to work or that is conducive to profitability. One of the dumbest things we've done in the past several years, is create something called casual day. Usually it's casual Friday. I'll guarantee you that productivity goes down on Fridays when people dress casually. Because if you don't feel like you've dressed for work, you don't work. Sorry, that's how it is. And some of you may be sitting right here on a casual Friday watching this, going, I don't like what he just said. I don't care whether you like it or not. It's still the truth. Productivity goes down when you didn't dress up for the job. Why do you think cops wear uniforms? Do they get a casual Friday? No. Because the uniform, number one, makes them know that they've dressed for work. Plus, it lets everybody else know that that's a cop. That cop is dressed for work. The uniform provides respect. You have a uniform. It's what you wear to put forth your best effort. Sorry, folks, this is my uniform. This is who I am. This is how I dress when I want to do my very best. I got to dress like Larry Wingate so I can act like Larry Wingate, so I can talk like Larry Wingate, so I can think like Larry Wingate. I guarantee you right now, if I'd shown up in T-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops, I wouldn't be able to do this. Why? Because I wouldn't feel like Larry Wingate. I wouldn't feel like sitting here talking to you. So dress for work. Don't let that slide. Make sure that the environment is an environment where people dress for work. Next is this. I go in businesses sometimes, but I wouldn't sit down in that place that's so filthy dirty. You know, we've let our lunchrooms become places where food turns green and where it looks like people have had a party. People's desks, they're cluttered, they're covered with stuff. People are eating at their desk. By the way, a little aside there, don't eat at your desk. Your desk is the place you work. And if you get to the place where it's become a habit for you to eat there and do all that stuff, then you don't think that your desk is a place where you sit down to work. When you go in the morning and you sit down in your chair, you need to know that chair is where I get work done. This desk, this is the place where I sit down and I go to work. And if you clutter it up with other things in your mind that aren't conducive to work, don't allow you to be the most productive, then you've detracted from your workspace. Don't do that. You see, these are simple ideas, but we just let them slide. Too much trouble to correct. Besides that, we think the person who's eating at their desk, well, they must be busy. They have to eat at their desk. No, probably the reality is they're lazy and they have to eat at their desk because they weren't working for the last 3 hours between the time they got there and time for lunch. Tough? Yeah, that's how it is. You know, we're talking about making your company profitable. So I don't care what it takes for you to do that. I don't care how tough it is for you to start to make changes. You're here for one reason, to make your organization, to make your business, to make your company more profitable. Because the more profitable it is, the more money you make, and you guarantee you're going to stay in business, the more profitable it is, the more people you can employ. That's a good thing. So never apologize for being profitable. And don't apologize along the way for making sure that you've created an environment conducive to being profitable, an environment conducive to running your business better. Don't apologize for that. Instead, figure out that you run a business. It needs to look like a business. It needs to dress up like a business. It needs to act like a business. Your front door should not be a smoke hole for employees, so customers have to walk through all your employees who are on their break out there smoking. Stop that immediately. Make sure that the entrance to your company looks like you want it to look. On to the next one. Expectations. You know, we don't expect much from our employees these days. Consequently, we don't get much from our employees these days. Set high expectations. Our expectations are very low. I have a friend who runs the shoe department at Nordstrom's. And she said, Larry, the most difficult thing we do anymore when we hire people to work in the shoe department is just get them to show up. She said, I have been abused by hiring people to the point that if they even show up, I'm satisfied. I said, well, first of all, you've set your expectations way too low. She told me a story about she hired somebody. He came to work first day, was real gung-ho, and at noon she said, okay, now it's time for you to take your lunch hour, and he didn't come back. 3 days later, he shows up for work like nothing ever happened, and he was surprised that he had been fired. That's how it is. It's gotten to that point. He was surprised he'd been fired because he left at lunch, never came back. He said, well, I didn't think that'd be a problem. Oh, come on. Come on. But you see, the problem is the expectation was set very, very low. He thought somewhere in his brain, as deranged as he might have been at the time, that that would be okay. And in some companies, that would be okay. My point is this, set very high expectations, manage those expectations. When people don't reach those expectations, stop, re-educate them so they can meet those expectations. And if they don't meet those expectations again, then you fire them. That's right, you fire them. Now, I'm going to talk a lot about firing people on my leadership series, and that, again, is all part of this series. But for right now, just know, set high expectations, manage to them, and make sure that you enforce the consequences of not meeting expectations. Next is this. People are thieves. I've already mentioned this. People are thieves. That's right. You're a thief. You know, a recent study said this. 90 minutes a day 90 minutes a day is what most office workers spend on the internet on personal things. 90 minutes. How much do you spend? I recently did a walk around. I did a walk and talk when I was shooting a national news show in New York City. And I walked around a park interviewing people about work ethics. And I said, is it right or wrong to make copies on the company copier? Everybody said it was fine. What's wrong with that? How about making personal phone calls? They all said, well, sure, what's wrong with making personal phone calls at work? And what about, oh, if you just stuck a pen or a pencil in your pocket and took it home? Oh, it's only a pen or a pencil. That's what they said to me. Larry, why are you so worried about this stuff? Let me tell you why. Because it's stealing. Here's the question you always ask yourself. Is that what you were hired to do? And if you weren't hired to do it, then it's not the right thing to do. You were hired specifically to do a certain job. And anything outside of that means that's not your job, and that's not what you're being paid to do, and that's not what the company expected from you. So you shouldn't be doing it. You're stealing if you do that. If you come in 5 minutes late, you stole that 5 minutes. Divide that by how much you get paid per hour, and you ought to have to write a check at the end of the day. If you spend 90 minutes a day on the internet doing personal stuff, if you're making phone calls, if you're making copies using the company's stuff, I'm sorry, that's wrong. It's wrong. And if nobody pointed that out to you and you don't understand that's wrong on your own, I don't even know what to say to you. Come on. These are matters of integrity and honesty. So right now, communicate this to everybody, but communicate it to yourself. Ask yourself every single day, is this activity that I'm involved in right at this moment, is this what I was hired to do? And if you say no, then you need to stop doing it and do something else. And you need to be doing what you were paid to do and hired to do. Anything else is stealing from your employer, and it's wrong. And in my opinion, you ought to be fired for it. Now, the problem is this in business. Again, I told you I got some notes here. We have some misconceptions about business. I think we've sold people short. We're telling people right now, and it's become very, very popular, that you have to be passionate about what you do in order to be successful. Nah, that's a stupid thing. I recently did a national talk show, and they said, Larry, talk to us about passion. And I said, passion is a total load. I know that bothers some of you because you're passionate. I know people who are passionate, and they are passionately incompetent. They are passionately stupid. They're caught up in doing the wrong things. They're all excited. And then they said, but Larry, I love what I do for a living. That's become popular. As long as you love what you do for a living, you'll never work a day in your life. Oh, come on, get real. I don't love what I do for a living. I'm good at what I do for a living. That's the difference. I did a speech not long ago, and a guy caught me later walking down the hall. He was the president of the company, and he said, Larry, you're so lucky to have found your love and your passion. And I said, so what are you talking about? He said, in there when you were giving the speech to my group, I saw you were just so passionate about it. And I said, now see, this is sad. Because there was not one thing about it in there I was passionate about. You saw me doing my job, and I'm good at my job. You paid me to be good at my job. Let me talk to you about what I'm passionate about. It's sitting on my patio with my feet up, with a cigar in one hand, a great scotch in the other hand, my bulldog sitting on my lap, my wife sitting next to me, involved in a great conversation, little Merle Haggard playing in the background, watching the sun go down. I can get passionate about that. Everything else, to me, is just pretty much a job. The problem is we're not used to seeing people be really good at what they do for a living, and we've confused excellence with passion. You see, that's wrong. I read a great book, and it had a profound line in it. It said, amateurs love their job. Professionals love their job enough to be excellent at it. Let me say that again for you. Amateurs love their job. I run into people every single day who say they love their job. Professionals love their job enough to get good at it, to become excellent at it. Passion carries you that far in terms of success. It's hard work and excellence that carries you the rest of the way. Hard work and excellence. And by the way, it takes both. Excellence alone won't do you any good. You've got to have more than excellence. Hard work alone won't do you any good. If you work really hard and you're lousy at what you do, you're just going to end up tired at the end of the day. You won't be more successful. If you're only excellent and you don't work very hard, you're never going to be very successful. Hard work plus excellence equals success. Passion is that little bit of extra that might carry you through some hard times. But that alone is not enough to be successful. Then we got those idiots out there who say, you got to be happy every single day. Got to be happy. I'm not into that whole happy. I'm really not. Give me a guy with a good negative attitude, knows how to get things done. That's the guy I want working for me. I don't care whether he likes anybody he works with, whether he can be tolerated or not. If he gets the job done, that's what I'm interested in. Remember, I pay for results. I pay for the people who produce results, who get things done. See, the problem right now, we're trying to tell people you got to be happy every single day. Let me ask you this. Do you ever get a paycheck in your whole life that down in the memo section says you're getting paid this time because you're so darn happy? No, you don't get paid to be happy. You get paid to do your job. That's what's really important. In fact, about the last thing in the world I want is somebody else trying to happy me into happy. You know what I'm talking about. Every company's got one. Your company's got one. Little Susie Sweet Cheeks who comes running up to you going, is Mr. Grumpy having a bad day? Get out of my face. I got work to do. You see, we've got work to get done. It doesn't matter whether we're happy doing it or not. Those are bonuses. Passion is a bonus. Loving what you do for a living is a bonus. Enjoying it all, that's a bonus. Enthusiasm, it's a bonus. The problem is that we forgot it's called work. I wrote a book called It's Called Work for a Reason. It's work. You got to at least be breaking a sweat mentally or physically or somewhere in your life to know that you're getting the work done. I mean, it's not called playtime. It's not called socializing time. It's not called having a good time. It's called work. And we've got to remind people they were hired to work. Period. You were hired to work. If you're not willing to work, let me march you out the front door and go someplace where they'll pay you not to work. I get paid to work. I get paid in direct proportion to how hard I work and how good I am at what I do. When you hire me to come speak to your organization, you pay me to be good. You don't pay me to love it. You don't pay me to be passionate about it. You don't pay me to enjoy myself. You pay me to do what you pay me to do, which means work and work really hard and be great at it. I'm paid what I'm paid because I'm great at what I do. That's the same reason you're paid. That's the same reason you pay your employees. They got to be great at what they do. And it's your job to make sure they are. Next is this. Well, that's kind of a rant, wasn't it? The reality is, about that whole love thing, you're only going to love what you do for a living about that much of the time. About 10%, I say. Really about 10%. I don't like what I do for a living very much. Now, see, a lot of you are confused and think this is what I do for a living. I stand on stages around the world. I do things like this right here about 10% of the time, maybe 100 hours a year. I spend about 250 days a year on airplanes and hotels, backseat of cabs, trying to make my 100 hours happen. I love my 100 hours. I hate my 250 days. The key is I love my 100 hours enough to be willing to put up with the 250 days. I guarantee you the same thing applies with you and in your business. You love what you do that much. You got to spend most of the time putting up with the rest of it. The key is figuring out that that's how it is, the reality. So you don't get all caught up and say, you know, I don't like my job very much. I deal with people like that all the time. I don't like my job very much. Who cares? You aren't paid to like it. You're paid to do it. Hardcore approach? Yeah, we need a little more hardcore approach. Right now, I've been watching all these people who say, you know, American workers are the hardest workers on the planet. Oh, come on. We're not the hardest workers on the planet. The only thing we're best at is consumerism. We use up more of everything, of the world's resources. We use up more of the world's resources than anybody else, but we're not the hardest workers. Most people work just hard enough so they don't get fired. And most companies pay you just enough so you won't quit. That's what it comes down to. And that's why we're in part of the mess we're in right now. We've set up unfair expectations of the people who work for us. We've told them they got to love what they do and be happy and passionate and all that. No, folks, you just got to do what you're hired to do. Now, that's our fault because we didn't tell them ahead of time what was expected of them. We didn't manage the expectation, and we didn't let them feel the consequences of not delivering what we expect from them. Next idea. We do people a grave disservice by telling them that work is anything but work. It's a disservice to tell people of that. And so what we've done is we've created our own problem. We've told people that, and we've set up unfair expectations. We've told them that this is a great place to work. We're just one big happy family. Let me ask you this about your family. Is your family one big happy family? Or do you have that idiot brother-in-law that comes to Thanksgiving and you just go, holy crap, I wish he would just go away? That's probably what your family's more like. Anytime I deal with somebody that says, oh, we're just one big happy family here at XYZ Corporation, I'm going, you're a mess and I know it and I can see it. And chances are that guy doesn't like his inbred cousin over there who sits in the next cubicle. You know, the reality of the situation is anybody who thinks that they work in a place where it's one big happy family, they are delusional. The reality is we work with idiots every single day. You know, my dad worked for Sears Roebuck for 47 years. That's a long time. He made a deal with Sears Roebuck when he was 17 years old. 47 years, by the way, 17,000 days. This is the deal he made. I'll show up with the work, you show up with the money. For the next 47 years, Sears showed up with the money, which means he had to show up with work. That was the only deal he made. It was a very simple deal. The deal based on integrity and honesty, and it didn't matter whether he was happy or motivated or found his passion or his purpose. None of those things matter. He was hired to work. He did. He worked every single day. And yet, this is my point. Every single day, he worked with, for, and around idiots. Don't you? Of course you do. Every single day, he had customers who were idiots. Well, don't you? Of course you do. The reality of every business is that we all work with idiots. What we also have to understand is we're the idiot. Sometimes we're the idiot. That's the key. It doesn't matter about all the people you work with. And that's what I'm talking about. We've lost our focus. We need to remember that we work for one reason and one reason only, and that's to keep our company profitable. The way we keep our company profitable is to serve others well. The way we serve others well, the way we serve each other well, the way we serve our customers well is by through hard work and delivering excellence at every opportunity. You see how this all ties together and how really it is pretty simple? You see, we've lost the simplicity, and we can't. So, here's some things I want to talk to you about. Some things that cover a wide variety of areas of business. And here's the first one. Results. I've already talked about accomplishment and all that sort of thing. Results. Results are what you get to measure when you're dealing with your people. You measure results, not whether you like them, about whether they deliver the results. Your company is about results. If you're not getting the results you want, you got to figure out what's keeping you from getting those results. You're going to hear me say a lot through this series that my whole approach to business success and my whole approach to personal success, in fact, my whole approach to life is based on the very old joke. The very old joke is this. You've heard it. Man goes into a doctor, says, doctor, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, don't do that. All I ask is that you look at your business and determine what hurts. And then stop doing that. And one of the things that hurts you in your business is that you've lost focus, you've lost priorities, you haven't communicated effectively, you haven't set high expectations, all the things that we've talked about, and you forgot that your business exists for one reason, and that's results that make you more profitable. We got caught up in a lot of little things. So I want you to always be focused on results. Results, results, results. What are we getting done? And are our results making us more profitable? Next is this, is that we need to teach our people how to become invaluable. Right now, we have a lot of people losing jobs. Job losses are rampant. And if you're looking at a company, working in a company that might be downsizing, if you're in an industry that's in trouble, and a lot of people are, then you need to make yourself invaluable. You have to ask yourself every single day, what can I do to be amazing at what I do? That's the best job security you can ever come up with. What can I do to make myself absolutely critical to the success of this organization? What can I do? And a janitor can do this, a receptionist can do this, a warehouse person can do this. How can I make myself the kind of person that other people count on? The kind of person that my boss can't live without. The kind of person that my coworkers go, I've got to have them. I count on them. The kind of person that the customer says, I need that person within your company. What can you do? Chances are it's more than you're doing right now. So you have to ask yourself every single day, what can I do to be more amazing at what I do in order to become invaluable? Because the more invaluable you become to your company, the better job security you will have. The next thing is this. It's called teamwork. In my book, it's called Work for a Reason. I have a chapter about teamwork. It's called Teamwork Doesn't Work. and teamwork doesn't work. And I know that bothers some of you because you're sitting around probably right now with your little team, and you just love your little team. Well, let me tell you right now, teamwork doesn't work. Let me tell you why it doesn't work, and you will agree with me. Teamwork doesn't work because somebody on the team isn't going to work. And as soon as one person on the team doesn't work, then the team didn't accomplish anything. What caused the job to get done was a handful of superstar employees who showed up and did the work while they dragged everybody else. Teams are primarily places for mediocre employees to hide among superstar employees who are actually getting the work done. And here's what's most disgusting of all. When it comes time for the team to take the credit, the team steps up to take the credit, and there's that guy who didn't do a darn thing. And we all know he didn't do a darn thing, and he gets to share the credit. Let me tell you right now about superstar employees. They don't like to share the credit. The person who actually gets the job done, they want the credit. Which, by the way, let me give you a little aside here. When you hire somebody, it says, I don't care who gets the credit. I just want to make sure the job gets done. I've heard that in interviews before. I would never hire somebody like that. Because anybody who says, I don't care who gets the credit for the job getting done, never got the job done. They never got any of the credit. If they'd ever gotten any of the credit for getting the job done, I'll guarantee you they'd care if somebody got the credit or not. And those people who say, and this again is just an aside for hiring people, those people who say in an interview process, I'm a people person. Don't hire a people person. A people person is going to spend all their time talking to people, socializing, not working. I don't want people persons working for me. I want people who are focused on work. I want work persons. People who are focused on accomplishing the task. That's what's really important. The ability to get along with people, socialize, that's important in some jobs, not all jobs. But again, that's an aside to getting the job done. That's just a rant. Here's my last area that I want to talk to you on in the areas of business, and it comes down to ethics. You see, to me, ethics is black or white. There's no gray area ever. And the problem is we've justified gray in our society, and we've justified gray in our business. Folks, it's either right or it is wrong. There's no gray. It's hello or goodbye, either in the way or on the way. That's how it really is. And the trouble is, in our businesses, we've let people slide, as I mentioned earlier. We've created gray areas where we say, well, this time, there's no this time. If it's right, it's always right. If it's wrong, it's always wrong. How do you know? If you had to ask, it's wrong. If you have to even ask whether it's right or it's wrong, it's wrong. Because when you're doing the right thing, you never have to ask. So you always do the right thing, period, every single time. Now, doing the right thing might cost you money. It might embarrass you. It might humiliate you. You may have to fall on the sword. A whole area, a whole array of things might happen to you when you do the right thing. It doesn't matter. You just do the right thing. That's one of the problems we have right now in our whole country, in our whole society, is we let people by with not doing the right thing. You do the right thing, especially in business. I guarantee you, in the long run, and sometimes it's the long run, the right thing always pays off. But you do the right thing. Why? Because it's the right thing. I'm a big believer in doing the right thing. And in terms of ethics, let me tell you what. Getting a haircut on company time, that's not the right thing. Taking a pencil is not the right thing. Making copies is not the right thing on the company copier. Doing internet stuff while you're at work, that's not the right thing. Coming in late is not the right thing. Taking a long lunch hour, it's not the right thing. Leaving early, it's not the right thing. You're not paid to do it, so you shouldn't be doing it. There's no gray area in any of this stuff. It always comes down to doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Now, my number one rule for all success in business, and this is what I'm going to leave you with, do what you said you would do, when you said you would do it, the way you said you would do it. That's my number one rule for being in business. Do what you said you would do, when you said you would do it, the way you said you would do it. That's a statement based in integrity. It's a statement based in high ethics. It's a statement that it works in every single area. All your employees want for you is to do what you said you would do it, when you said you would do it, the way you said you would do it. All you want from your employees is for them to do what they said they would do, when they said they would do it, the way they said they would do it. And let me tell you, more than anything, what your customers want from you is for you to do what you said you would do. Keep your word. Make sure your product does what you said it would do. And they want you to do what you said you would do when you said you would do it. They don't want an excuse for why it has to show up a day late or why you're 2 hours late for your appointment. They want you to do what you said you would do when you said you would do it, the way you said you would do it. Folks, that's just a handful of good ideas that I'll guarantee you, if you implement them, can make your business more successful. Thanks for joining me on this session of How to Run a More Successful Business.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-432-7963. The vision of Grandian Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandiassociates.com or give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Small Business University audio series is produced and distributed by Grandian Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.